So next, we're going to welcome David Sewell to talk about Texas property tax incentives. David's been an attorney at the firm of Stahl, Sewell, Chavarria, Friend, and Cohen since 1999 and became a partner in 2008. David practices in the firm's renewable energy, commercial real estate, Texas taxation, and corporate law areas, and he advises the firm's renewable energy clients on real estate issues and Texas tax issues associated with project development, transactions, and tax incentive agreements. He also represents Texas tax clients in administrative proceedings before the State Office of Administrative Hearings and in Texas state courts. Thank you, David. Take it away.
Thank you, and thank you for the introduction, Christine. If you haven't had a chance to work with Christine, you should hope that you get to. She and I have worked together a number of times over probably more years than we want to think about. So why don't we thank her for moderating the morning session for us. And so it comes to this, property taxes and then lunch. We're going to be in here for 45 minutes with property taxes. I've attended this conference many times. They're very efficient at setting up lunch. And so I know many people are going to be tempted to try to go out and be first in line for lunch. And so it becomes my challenge anyway, personally, to see how many people I can keep in the room for 45 minutes of property tax. So let's see how I do. Seems like every 2 or 3 years we have a presentation at this conference about property taxes. And if you're not from Texas, you may wonder why that is. Texas, reputationally, is a low tax state. Everyone wants to invest here. Everyone wants to come here. People are moving here from all over. So what is the deal with Texas property taxes? And it comes down to how you answer the question of, is Texas really a low tax state? And there are really two sides to that coin. If you look at it from the perspective of an individual, Texas consistently ranks near the bottom of tax burdens for individuals. But from the perspective of business, especially capital intensive business, Texas is usually in the top third or top quarter of average tax burden on business. And why is that? One of the main reasons is property tax. In Texas, not only do we have high property tax rates, but for businesses, we tax not only business real property, but we also tax business personal property in the form of machinery, equipment, solar panels, wind turbines, and inventory. And so investing in Texas almost always drives developers to seek every available property tax incentive that they can. And so, not trying to create competition among my fellow speakers with all these great topics, but it was John Maynard Keynes that said, avoidance of taxes is the only real intellectual pursuit with a real reward. So with that behind us, let's talk about Texas property tax agreements. And so in an ongoing effort to give property tax presentations at least a nominally interesting name, I've titled this one, Nothing Has Changed and Everything Has Changed. And we'll see when we get into it, that's really an appropriate description of what's happened in Texas property tax incentives over the past 2 or 3 years. When we look at the left side of the slide, we look at Chapter 312 tax abatements, we look at Chapter 381 and 380 economic incentive agreements. These are the tax incentives that you can receive from counties, from cities, from any local taxing jurisdiction that's not a school district. When we look at that, we see nothing has really changed in the past 2 or 3 years in the law and those agreements. There's been no statutory changes, really no case law changes to discuss. So we want to review those just to keep those fresh in our mind, but we'll also look at some practice tips and some trends that we're seeing with Chapter 312 and Chapter 380 and 381. But when you go to the other side of the slide and you talk about the tax incentives available from school districts, typically one of our largest property taxes, you see there everything has changed. The Chapter 313 program that we relied on for so many years is now expired at the end of 2022, and we'll talk about that. And then we have a new statute just enacted by the legislature in the last legislative session in 2023, the Jobs, Energy, Technology, and Innovation Act. And so we'll spend some time talking about that. So my goal today is to start in the upper left-hand corner there with Chapter 312, work clockwise around the screen, and if we have time at the end, talk about Chapter 380 and Chapter 381. So continuing on with that, Chapter 312, the basics of a Chapter 312 tax abatement agreement, any local taxing district except for a school can negotiate a tax abatement agreement with you for your project. And it is common and often developers will pursue a tax abatement agreement from multiple local taxing jurisdictions. maybe a county, maybe a hospital district, maybe a water district, maybe even a junior college district. All of those are eligible to do their own Chapter 312 tax abatement.